Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Chittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. They took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I, that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand on an heap. It came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brink or brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, which is called Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Well, it's a chapter in the midst of a lot of chapters that are interesting. And certainly we remember that Moses now has died. He's passed off of the scene. Joshua is placed in command, and God is dealing with him and teaching the children of Israel that he is to replace Moses. And by the way, there's a beautiful tag in that. This doesn't cost you anything. I just want to give it to you. Now, Moses, the Bible said, gave us the law, or the law came by Moses. But we find Joshua, same name that Jesus Christ has over in the New Testament, is the one that can take them over and into the land. The law cannot take you into the place of blessing and the land of promise. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. And so it was right, it was appropriate, and the type was correct. As Moses would die, and of course in the physical sense at that moment stay on the other side of the Jordan, but it would be Joshua that would lead them over. And you can look at the law, and you can study the law, and you can try to keep the law, but it'll never take you in. Jesus Christ is the one who will take you in. Now that's all free, I just give you that. Just as we pass by it. But we see this scene that is before us, and as they have then the future. And Joshua's giving them some instruction, and we'll pick up some things that are yet in the future as we look at this message tonight, so that we might be encouraged and know something about walking the way that is before us. But if we're going to walk correctly before us, we need to look briefly back behind us. Now, there are some things that we ought to forget in life. I tell you what, every one of these old haunting sins that you can put out of your mind, you put it out of your mind. The failures and all of those things you need to put behind you. But I want you also to always remember that you were a slave to sin in this world as Israel was a slave to the Egyptians in the land of Egypt. In other words, there's a tag here, and there's a parallel that is run that we need to see. And we never want to forget that we were guilty sinners before God and that our deliverance came. And this folk, they had been enslaved in Egypt and they had experienced deliverance. And as I think about the children of Israel and the deliverance that was wrought in their behalf, when I see Moses as he's called again or instructed again more correctly at the burning bush, you see the call was upon him already. This was God's plan all along. But at the burning bush, God reaffirmed to him that he was to be the one to go down into the land of Egypt and to go before Pharaoh and command that Pharaoh let God's people go. Moses went down after some discussion with the Lord. Like a lot of preachers, he had to go through the kind of school of hard knocks. The Lord had to instruct him. Finally gave him his brother to go, Aaron, to go with him. And so they went down into the land of Egypt. But primarily we see that Moses was a spokesman. He was a responsible party, and he began the season of plagues that came upon the land of Egypt. Each time that Pharaoh would say no, God would send a plague. Pharaoh would say no, and he'd try to make a compromise, and God would send a plague. Right on down until it came to the last plague. And this was the great grand plague that would be upon the land of Egypt. There would be a death of the firstborn in every house in the land of Egypt. But thank God we find that when you read it very carefully, but God made a difference between those over in the land of Goshen and the rest of the land of Egypt. There we find that Moses, given direction by God, and Aaron were told to tell the children of Israel to put up the Passover lamb. And they did put up the Passover lamb. And they kept him the prescribed days, slew that lamb, and sprinkled the blood to the sides of the door and above the door, as the Lord had directed. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that night, the Bible said there was a great wail, great cry, and went across the land of Egypt. As folks began to discover that there was the death of the firstborn in every house in the land of Egypt, thank God, over in the land of Goshen, where the blood was on the doors, there was safety and security, but everywhere else there was death. And Pharaoh called an emergency meeting, and he said, y'all get out. They won't ever see your face again. And of course, they went out. We know the story, how that he tried to follow them afterwards, but God saw to it that he and his army were stopped, and many of them drowned in the Red Sea. And so they had experienced deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. They'd also, now thus far, they had known some defeat at Kadesh Barnea. And this is really sometimes the experience in our lives. We've seen some victories. We've found out that we can know that we're saved, and yet then there comes the defeat, like Kadesh Barnea, when they said, oh, there's too many giants in the land, we just can't go in. And they were defeated there. And they had seen some victories. And whenever they, I remember, had met Amalek, well, they prevailed. So there were victories that they had seen, and they had seen some defeats. They had seen human leadership change, and they had seen God's constantly the same in spite of the change of the human leadership. So we look at this, and that gives us a picture of their lives, and really it gives us a picture of our lives, does it not? So much in parallel that we thank God that we've been delivered, but we've known some defeats. We've seen some victories. Some of us have seen human leadership change. We've seen it in our country. And there's been some preachers that I've known and love very dearly that have gone on to be with the Lord. But I find that God's still unchangeable, always the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, as we look at that, now we've looked back, what are they to expect, and what can they expect to meet with in the future? Well, there's some things here that I believe that we certainly can say that the parallel is true. They, first of all, will meet some things in the way that are impossible barriers. The flooding Jordan. Now, that's impossible for them to pass over Jordan as it is. It's flooding, and we find in our text here that it always flooded through the harvest, and it's an impossible barrier. And you will find in your life sometimes what seems to be impossible barriers. We've studied in our Sunday school lesson even this morning. Those disciples out in the sea, they were rowing with all their might. They were doing everything that they could to get to the other shore. But they could not until the Lord came along. And I present to you that the impossible barriers will disappear when the Lord is brought into the scene. The ark of the God of Israel. The priest would bear that ark, and the moment their feet touched the brim of that water, the Bible said that the water stood a wall. And if you'll look into this text carefully, what you see is a water that just as though there were a dam. It's invisible because it's the hand of God. But it's holding that water, and it begins to back up. On the upper side, in the lower water, just run away. And it leaves dry ground. And the children of Israel went across dry shod, just as they had crossed the Red Sea. And so tonight, you will meet some impossible barriers along this way. But I encourage you to always remember that when the Lord is involved in your life, these impossible barriers can be broken down and they can disappear. Then there will be some unusual methods that the children of Israel will experience as they undertake the conquest of Jericho. Now, it took a lot of faith to use God's method, and it takes a lot of faith today to use God's methods. I listened to a fellow one time, and he had it figured out exactly. If you would put so many Sunday school teachers to work, you'd have so many people in attendance. And if you do this, you'd do that. Well, that may work and it may not work. But I want you to know that God has unusual methods sometimes. And it's very unusual today. God just chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Now, I still want to stay with the book, and I want to continue to preach. If you're going to eliminate the preaching, then I just will go home. I want to preach. I believe it's God's method for the day. But the children of Israel, they met some unusual methods. I'm not saying that organization's wrong. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misquote me on that. But I do believe that sometimes God's going to use unusual methods. He's going to use unusual people. And here, as they went into the land of Canaan and they were to undertake the siege of Jericho, God said, you just march around it one time every day for 6 days. Don't make any noise. Don't do anything. Just march around it. On the seventh day, march around it seven times. On the seventh time, give a great shout, blow the trumpets, and walk straight forward into the city. Unusual method, was it not? We'd have thought, surely we must build our mounts, we must have our catapults, and we'll have to batter those walls, and finally maybe they'll break down. We'd lay our plans and make our plans, but God had a method. And you can explain it any way you want to. I just know that God shook the walls enough, they fell down straight forward, and the folks walked in right on top of those walls. They fell just exactly right, so it was just a ramp so they could walk into the city and take the city. And God is going to use sometimes unusual methods. He'll take a fellow back here that's very timid and backward and seemingly couldn't even put together a message, but God will use him in a mighty way. Put him in the place of service and do something with him. He'll take another that might not, as far as the world's evaluation is concerned, capable at all, but God will use him. I want you to know that Moses was used on along in his life as well. 80 years old is a rather long time now, late time to seemingly go into the ministry. But God uses unusual methods sometimes, and he works his work, but he gets his work done. There will be some defeats as they go into the land of promise. They left Jericho with full confidence, and they met Ai and the men of Ai, and they fled before them. So there will be some defeats in our lives as we go into the future that is before us. We've not gone this way before. But if we'll correct the things that need to be corrected, the defeats will soon become victories as they did at Ai. Whenever they went back to the camp and they prayed about it, and God showed them the center in the camp, they moved the sin from the camp. Then they went and took the city of Ai like they ought to. Along the way, you'll find some folks that are deceptive. There were some Gibeonites. And don't be dismayed and don't be overwhelmed when you find somebody that professes to be something that they're not. Now, I've known people that were following a physical, natural leader, and whenever that leader fell, they seemed to be shattered. But I want you to know that there are some that are deceivers along with the Gibeonites. They heard about all that happened to Jericho and Ai, and they said, we better do something. So they put them on old clothes, old shoes, took old wine bottles, and they took moldy, crusty bread, and they went and met them and said, we've come from a far country, and we want to make an agreement with you. And the men of that army of Israel, the princes that were responsible, they made an agreement or a covenant with them that they could just live among them. They didn't pray about it. They didn't seek God's face in it. And it wasn't long, just when they were a little farther, they found out that they were close neighbors. They had been deceived. But because they'd given the word, they kept their word. And when you read, like in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra, about the certain men that seemingly be unexplained, actually these are far descendants from those. For Joshua made them the keepers and the physical laborers for the house of God. And it was carried on down into those days that came later. But that was the Gibeonites. They were deceivers. And you'll find some that will come with deception to your door, into your life, and they'll want you to be led astray. But as Paul said, or the writer of Hebrews said, I believe it was Paul, he said, it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And when the heart is established with grace, then the deceivers will come, they'll talk about works, they'll talk about ceremony, they'll talk about law, and they'll talk about all the good things that they can do for you. And you say, no, I'll just stay with the grace of God. The Lord saved me, the Lord will keep me, and the Lord will take me all the way through. But you'll find some deceivers along the way. And then there will be some memorials. They took stones out of Jordan, and they put stones down in Jordan. Now, I don't want to develop that message, but there's a story in that. There are some hidden memorials. There are some visible memorials. There ought to be a visible memorial, too, in our lives. As we walk this pilgrim's way, there ought to be a memorial, of course, of just remembering the day we're saved. There ought to be a memorial of the day we were baptized. There ought to be a memorial in our lives as the Lord worked in our lives in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There ought to be some times that are precious to us and be marked along the way. To those who have had that special privilege of teaching the Word of God or preaching the Word of God, there's a day that comes where the Lord points out to you and to me. That's your lot in life. And walk this way. So there are some memorials. And then, of course, those hidden memorials of the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and so forth. But there will be some memorials. There'll be some good times. There'll be things to remember as we walk this way. And then how to face the future. Well, we've come to that. We've talked about what to expect along the way. How are we going to face the future? Well, we're to face the future looking to God. Now, the children of Israel were told that there's a fixed distance right here between you and the ark. Don't get too close and don't get too far away. Just stay where God has told you to stay, looking unto God. Now, if you get too close, if you're not careful, you'll pass God up and you'll be off into no telling where. If you get too far back, you'll lose all sight of Him. And one of the saddest things that I can think of in my life is for a person to know the Lord Jesus Christ and lose sight of Him. I remember an old gentleman up in Fort Worth. I worked in Loving Avenue Baptist Church. Said he'd been saved years before, but his life had just after been lost and wasted because he was away from the house of God and had lost sight of what God had done for him. And so we are to face the future looking to God. Keep your eyes on the ark. Don't pass it. Don't follow too far back. Just be where you ought to be, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And as we face the future, we look to God and we look in faith. And in faith, there are some things that can happen. Rivers can dry up and will dry up. That impossible barrier will disappear. City walls will fall, and the way will be straight forward into that place that God intended that we take possession of. And in faith, God will fight the battles. The truth is, there was one that met Joshua. If you read in chapters around this in the text, that Joshua said, are you on our side or are you against us? He said, I'm the captain of the host of Israel. And he was already over in the land waiting on them. God will go before you. God will fight the battle for you. So we need to go in faith, and then we need to go in sanctification. When they got on the other side, God stopped them and said, now you need to catch up on something. You need to keep my word. You need to practice circumcision, as it's been taught to you in generations past that they had now neglected. And so we must know what God wants, and it's sanctification if we do what God wants, when we know what God wants. That's dedication. Sanctification is a setting apart to God. And that's really what we ought to have in our lives, as we walk this pilgrim way, just to know what God wants and to do what God wants. That's really biblical, practical sanctification in our lives. Now, I realize there is a sanctification that we look into the theological realm where God sets us apart to Himself. And that's the work of God. But on the other hand, the practical side of it is that we need to find God's will and give ourselves to it. Dedicate ourselves to it. And certainly then we must go in prayer as we look at the future. Israel did not ask God about the Gibeonites, the Hivites, as we find them in the Bible, and they made a grave mistake. And you tonight, and I tonight, we'd make a grave mistake if we don't pray about the things of God. We believe that it's important. We believe it's necessary tonight to give ourselves to prayer. And consequently, they were severely hindered because of this, because there has come a time whenever these Gibeonites will be under attack because of their stand with Israel, and Israel will have to leave their work and go over and try to protect them. In other words, it becomes a hindrance to the work of God, and it hinders the work of God if we're not faithful in prayer. Just a conclusion tonight. You must walk. You've not gone this way before, but you're going to walk. In other words, as God gives you life, life is out before us. The question is, will it be with God or will it be without God? I trust tonight that you would say it'll be with God as I walk this way that I have not passed before.